This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the glorified and exalted, and testifying to his unique oneness and to the finality of prophethood being in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and after reminding myself anew with the taqwa of Allah, to keep conscious and dutiful to Him, and consistent in our love for Him, and submission to Him, and reliance upon Him, Azza wa Jal. And after welcoming my brothers and sisters anew back to the house of Allah, Azza wa Jal. Brothers and sisters, in the last 9 months, as discourse among Muslims has, for very good reason of course, pivoted to all things Palestine, there has been a significant hurdle that I have personally discovered, and that there seems to be a major disconnect between many Muslims and the sacred, not just the political, the sacred history of these blessed holy lands. And this is problematic not just because those who are trying to take advantage of that historical amnesia, they cannot be. We cannot just sit around and let them be more knowledgeable of the lies about history than we are knowledgeable about the truth of that history. And it's not just because those who are unaware of history are bound to repeat its mistakes, but it's because this is of religious significance. Like, the blessed lands, the holy lands, are like Mecca and Medina. There is no real difference. They are in one category, if you will. Allah Azza wa Jal, allow me to begin where we left off 2 weeks ago with Ibrahim alayhi salam. He was driven out due to his stances. And Allah says, وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ وَلُوطًا, and we saved him and his nephew Lut. إِلَى الْأَرْضِ الَّتِي بَارَكْنَا فِيهَا لِلْعَالَمِينَ, we saved them to the land that we blessed for everyone. This is a blessed land that Allah made holy and blessed for the worlds. And whenever you hear the blessed lands, unqualified in the Qur'an, or the Muqaddas, the holy lands, unqualified, it's automatically referring to Jerusalem and its surrounding areas. That's how significant it is. But as for the history, guided by the Qur'an, if you will, Ibrahim alayhi salam migrated away from his people to the land of the Philistines, they called them. That's why it became known as Palestine. Interestingly, by the way, the Israelites were born, they are the grandchildren of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and we'll get to that in a minute. But not just in the Quran, even in the Bible, it mentions that Abraham came to these lands and he purchased a small plot of land, actually a cave, to bury his wife in when she died. So number one, the great grandfather of the children of Israel is not from Palestine, he migrated to Palestine. Second of all, he didn't arrive and say, like, God gave me this land. He arrived and needed a place when his wife died. What do I do? He purchased a cave to give her an honorable burial, alayhi salam. Of course, as you know, Ibrahim alayhi salam, the great prophet of God, had Ismail and Ishaq. Ismail, he settled him in the lands that would become the thriving city of Mecca. And Ishaq, Isaac, settled and remained in the blessed lands of Palestine. And Ishaq had Yaqub alayhi salam, all of these great prophets of Allah. Ya'qub is Israel. Very important. Many times we notice that Muslims, what do you mean? The state of Israel, the racist genocidal state of Israel, tried to appropriate the name of the Prophet of Allah, Jacob, because his other name was Israel. Even in the Quran, Allah says, إِلَّا مَا حَرَّمَ إِسْرَائِيلُ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ. Allah says that Israel would abstain from eating certain foods just out of pious caution. But these are not haram foods. So Allah would call him Israel. That's his name. It meant devout worshipper. So the state today tries to just co-opt that name to give it an honorific, to justify through that name what can never be justified of their heartless Zionist project. All right? So in Palestine, Ibrahim had Ishaq. Ishaq had Ya'qub. Ya'qub is Israel. Jacob is Israel. And all of his children are the children of Israel. You hear all the time an imam on the minbar say, the children of Israel, or the Israelites. All that means, brothers and sisters, is that these are the children of Jacob. The children of Jacob. One of them, one of the direct children of Jacob, his name was Yusuf. So Yusuf alayhi salam is a young boy in Palestine, right? That eventually becomes a prophet. He is, of course, envied by his brothers, so betrayed by them, thrown into a well, abducted into the slave market, sold into slavery in Egypt, then framed for a crime he doesn't commit. You know all of this from the Quran. And then he's sent to the dungeons and forgotten about for years, but through the faith that the resilience the faith gave him, he finally emerges and he is appointed a position where he can become a hero. A hero, this is our first hero, if you will, for today, that not just rescues the people of Egypt from the impending famine, the drought and the food shortage that would happen, but even brought his family over from Palestine to save them from the lack of food and resources there. And so now Banu Israel are where? The Israelites, all the brothers and their father, they came to Joseph in Egypt. Now the Israelites are in Egypt. And they remain there for some generations until there arises in Egypt a pharaoh and a monster, the pharaoh of Moses, who was a butcher, who would massacre babies. And Allah Azza wa Jal caused to arise among them the great prophet Musa alayhi salam, who rescues his people by bringing them out from Egypt and the tyranny of Egypt. And then they return to where? To their former home, to Palestine, to the Holy Land, to Jerusalem. And the Quran recorded this for us, brothers and sisters, that when they got there, they said, إِنَّ فِيهَا قَوْمًا جَبَّارِينَ وَإِنَّا لَن نَدْخُلَهَا حَتَّى يَخْرُجُوا مِنْهَا. There are big, bad people there, occupiers, whoever was living there. We cannot reclaim our land. They were cowardly, and so Allah punished them. In Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah says, فَإِنَّهَا مُحَرَّمَةٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. Because you refuse to listen to Musa alayhi salam, you are no longer allowed the honor of living in these lands because of your disobedience. Allah does not play favoritism. And no believer in a God should ever believe God is unfair. And you're his favorites, you get this land or you get this virtue no matter how rebellious you are, right? The Quran and the Bible, by the way, are all in agreement about this, that it was never an unconditional promise. And so they were punished by Musa alayhi salam abandoning them. He said, Ya Allah, I cannot be with these people anymore. And so he separated from Banu Israel and they had to wander in the desert. Can you imagine? May Allah protect us. Wander in the desert. Imagine not having directions for 40 years. Your GPS is malfunctioning. For 40 years, they were wandering this desert. As some of the scholars say, perhaps this is because they needed to be stripped of the generation that had internalized the cowardice, internalized the weakness, because they were a slave class and they began to believe that we can't do anything. We can't be people of self-determination. And that's a lesson for everybody. Until another generation arose that was obedient to Allah and fearless due to their faith, the student of Musa alayhi salam, Joshua, the one that was serving him in the famous story in Surah Al-Kahf, when he was looking for Al-Khadr to teach him and the young man was carrying the food, that young man is Joshua. That young man is Yusha. 40 years later, Yusha enters triumphant and brings Banu Israel back into the promised land. And they said, Ya Allah, we've been through so much. Every nation in the world has a king. Why don't you give us a king? And so he said to them, as Allah captures in Surah Al-Baqarah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ بَعَثَ لَكُمْ طَالُوتَ مَلِكًا. Allah has sent you Talut, which is Saul in English, or Sha'ul in Hebrew. Talut is your king. As soon as he appointed them a king, Banu Israel said what? أَنَّا يَكُونُ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ عَلَيْنَا وَنَحْنُ أَحَقُّ بِالْمُلْكِ مِنْهُ وَلَمْ يُؤْتَ سَعَةً مِنَ الْمَالِ. How can he be our leader? We are more deserving of being the kings. They never thought it would be that guy that Allah had elected. وَلَمْ يُؤْتَ سَعَةً مِنَ الْمَالِ. And their explanation was, he's broke. He does not have much money. Of course, Allah does not make mistakes. And Allah picked for them the worthiest leader. And this is a lesson for us as well. Perhaps it was the fact that he was living and growing through financial distress his whole life that made him the most durable and worthy of being a leader. And as we live lives of privilege, we have to be careful about this. And so Talut becomes their king. And he establishes for them their presence in the region. And he was a righteous man, and some scholars say he may even have been a prophet. And he would even tell them that if you are going to march in my army, Surah Al-Baqarah captures this. When we get to that river, you're not allowed to drink. Only take a sip. Only a sip. He told them, you have to be disciplined. He said, faith comes at a cost. People will try to overrun you. You need to be people of strength, people of resilience. And eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gifts them with an even greater hero, which is the great Prophet Dawood alayhi salam, the Prophet David, who was for sure a prophet and a great king. And Allah had him take down an enemy hero that was larger than life. This is the famous story of David and Goliath, which we also have in the Quran. And Dawood alayhi salam was a man of great piety, who would fast one day and break his fast one day, essentially for life, and would sleep only half of the night and pray for a third and sleep for the last sixth. And in another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that when Allah showed Adam alayhi salam, the first human being, all of his children, he said, Ya Allah, who is this one with a very bright face? He said, this is one of your best offspring that I will send at the end of time. This is important because everyone's always wondering, like, you know, when's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? At the end of time, his name will be David. So it's all relative, right? You don't sit there waiting for the story to end. You are an active part. Only Allah knows. It's not just the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was a sign of the end times. The Prophet Dawood alayhi salam was a sign of the end times. In that hadith, he said, Oh Allah, Adam alayhi salam said, Oh Allah, how long will he live? Give him 40 years of my life. Let him live longer on this earth. And so Dawood alayhi salam lived a blessed life on this earth. And then Allah caused his son, Sulaiman, Solomon, to be an even greater king for Banu Israel. And this is what the historians, by the way, and selectively the Zionists will say, it was always our kingdom. The golden age of Banu Israel, of those people, was under the leadership of Sulaiman alayhi salam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said how this man was given so much kingdom by Allah, not just over the people, but even influence over the animal kingdom and even the jinn kingdom. And he was of those who rebuilt Masjid al-Aqsa, because these masajid have been around since the beginning of time. They have been prepared for humanity that was created to worship Allah. So the major houses of worship like the Kaaba and al-Aqsa have always been here, even though they get rebuilt. So he rebuilt the Masjid al-Aqsa. And he made dua to Allah that whomever enters it and prays two rak'ahs in it sincerely for Allah's pleasure, that Allah forgive for them every last sin of theirs. May we pray two rak'ahs in a free Masjid al-Aqsa soon. And then Sulaiman alayhi salam passes away. And when he passes away, of course, the ills of prosperity, right? This is the cycle of life. They go for power grabs and the kingdom is split in half. And that is when the children of Israel become their own religion for the most part. This is when the ethnicity became a religion. This is when the nation and the tribe became non-Muslims, essentially. They fell into idol worship. They fell into paganism. They fell into sexual perversions. They fell into oppression and power grabs. And as a result, once again, Allah's promise was conditional. The empires of the world, one after another, would overtake them in the Holy Land and ravage them and rape and pillage and burn every few hundred years or decades. And then Allah Azza wa Jal sent Banu Israel the last of their heroes, which was the great prophet Isa alayhi salam, Jesus peace be upon him. He was born among Banu Israel and he was a different kind of hero. He did not have any supports and was not permitted by Allah to have worldly leverage, and yet he didn't care. Isa alayhi salam did not just push back against the political establishment, the corrupt Roman regime that was there, right? He even pushed back against the religious establishment because of the corruption of Banu Israel. And that is why you are to know it was the people of Banu Israel, the rabbis and the teachers there, that went to the Roman government and said, this man is saying he's the new emperor. He's the new guy on the block. He's about to start a revolution. And so they convinced them to execute Isa alayhi salam. But of course, we as Muslims know in the Quran, in our infallible truth, right? That is Allah's words, وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ. They were not able to kill him, and they were never able to put him on the cross. They were simply put under the illusion that they did so. And about 300 years later, brothers and sisters, in about 325, the famous Roman Emperor Constantine creates what you know today as Christianity. That's why it is called the Roman Catholic religion. And then 300 years after that, around the year 572, Common Era, right? About 600 years total since Isa alayhi salam, Allah graced this world with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and before turning the Qibla to the Kaaba, before turning it to the Kaaba till the end of time, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken on that miraculous night journey we hear about in Surah Al-Isra to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. You would think about it, brothers and sisters, think. If the Kaaba is the greatest masjid on earth, why did the miracle of ascending the heavens not happen from the Kaaba? It happened through Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. Perhaps to triple emphasize for us that his ummah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will have a relationship and a destiny intertwined with Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa until the end of time. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعد أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ونبيه ورسوله. And as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had promised that after my death you will liberate al-Masjid al-Aqsa, and this in fact did take place during the rule of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu an. The place was left a dump and historically was never sanctified, never protected, except in the sanctuary of the true believers, in the sanctuary of the Muslims. Always historically, you will notice this pattern. And he restored Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. And the Jews and the Christians lived there essentially for 1,300 years until the rabid dog of Zionism emerged in the last 100 years. So it was never a hatred of the Jews. History attests to that being a lie. It was the hatred of being oppressed. It was the hatred of defiling that and violating the sanctities of human life. And so Umar al-Khattab liberated al-Masjid al-Aqsa, and then the ills of prosperity, brothers and sisters, caught up with this ummah as well. No favoritism. And the Crusaders famously massacred everyone in the city, not just the Muslims, with their blood rising up to the knees in the courtyard of al-Masjid al-Aqsa. The Jews were burned inside their temples, alive by the Crusader army. And even other non-compliant sects, different sects of Christianity than the sect of the Crusaders, were killed there as well. Until 100 years after that, Allah sent them another hero in the form of Salahuddin al-Ayyubi, the famous Ayyubid Sultan Salahuddin. And so we spoke of Yusuf alayhi salam and his heroics, and then Musa alayhi salam and his heroics, and then Yusha', and then Talut, and then Dawood, and then Sulaiman, and then Isa alayhi salam, and then our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Umar, and essentially Salahuddin as well, and there are many in between. As I close out this khutbah, whomever thinks they were 10 will never be able to be the next one. There are in between so many, brothers and sisters. Knowing our history is a small part of it, but knowing that this also is not our history is something I want to close out with. There were countless mothers who raised Muslims that were ultimately loyal to Allah and His Messenger and to the Ummah and to their principles, even with people outside this Ummah. There were people that never got jaded between the time of the massacre, between the time of the oppressions, and the time when Allah Azza wa Jal restored to those who deserved it. There was 88 years between the Crusaders and between Salahuddin. Within the first week, people started moving. And right before Salahuddin, the leaders before him could have even been greater contributors. It is not just the big names. And I'll share with you one final anecdote that I've shared before and will continue to share. What I didn't tell you is that when Musa alayhi salam brought them back to the promised land, I left two ayat out. When Allah said two men, and he refused to give us their names, that fear Allah, yakhafun, Allah blessed them with the fear of him only. They were telling their people, listen to the messenger. Just listen to Musa alayhi salam. He said, if you march in, you will win. And Allah immortalized their mention. It didn't work because there was not enough of that ummah rising to the occasion, owning their share of the duty. But Allah still celebrated them and uses them to inspire others. He puts them in the Quran. Why? Because they said, you know what? I may not have the biggest job, the most famous job. If my job is to say, listen to the messenger, then I'll amplify the voice of the messenger. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us all messengers of the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Help us focus in our little corners of the world of wherever we can contribute. Understand the honor that is in front of us of being part of this sacred heritage. May Allah help us understand our roots and better comprehend our history and not be subject to repeating its mistakes. Allahumma ameen. Allahumma aghfir lana warhamna. Allahumma aghfir lana warhamna. Wa ila ghayrika la takilna. Ighfir lana ma qaddamna wa ma akharna wa ma asrarna wa ma a'lanna wa ma anta a'lamu bihi minna. Allimna ma yanfa'una wa anfa'na bima 'allamtana wa zidna 'ilman ya rabbana. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min 'ilmin la yanfa' وقلب لا يخشع ونفس لا تشبع ودعاء لا يستجاب له. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.